Well, welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. This is that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, well, we want to pray for you. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893. Or prayer at yeshome.com. And let us lift up your need before the Lord today. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. Nothing's too big for Him to handle. Nothing is too small for Him to not care about. He's here to meet your every need. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't worry about that. Don't let that hinder you or keep you from receiving the prayer that you need. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. God knows who you are. That's all that matters. We just want to pray for you. And Lord, we do thank you this day for this opportunity to come before you and to seek you in prayer, to rejoice in you, to praise you. Lord, we know that you are a good and gracious and loving God. And Lord, we thank you that we can come before you in all these things, knowing that you are there to meet our every need. That in you we find fulfillment of all our needs and all our concerns. In you we find fulfillment for every problem that we have, every trial that we face. Lord, that you give us victory. And that when we trust in you and turn to you, Lord, that you do great and mighty things in our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We celebrate you this day for the good Father that you are. Pray that you move in the hearts of your people, that even as you are working in us, you are also working to change us and form us into the image of Christ, that we might reflect your glory in all things. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And before we get into prayer, we'd like to get into the Word of God to get our day started right, get us focused, to get our hearts set for prayer. And we've been looking at the book of Proverbs this week. We're going to finish up with that. In chapter 19, we started on this yesterday. And looked at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Today we're going to look at verse 3. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. You know, what an absolutely true proverb this one is. How many times have you seen someone who spent 40 years smoking and then is angry at God when they get lung cancer? Blows all their money on frivolous stuff and then is angry at God because they don't have money to pay the rent. Gets into a relationship with someone of dubious character and then is angry at God when that turns out bad. There's so many things in our life that we create for ourselves, and we love to blame God afterward. You know, when things go right, we get take all the credit. When things go wrong, God gets all the blame. Whenever something happens in this country and, you know, the tragedy strikes, people start blaming God. People who, you know, have had no interest in God, don't go to church, don't care about God. The only time they care about Him is when they can blame Him for something. Who asks the question, if God's so good, why does so much bad happen? Realizing that most of the bad that happens, we frankly bring upon ourselves. Not all of it, certainly. There are times when we suffer unjustly. But I think if we're honest, most of the suffering in life, we probably brought on to ourselves. But, you know, it's hard to blame your own folly, isn't it? It's hard to own up to our responsibility in these things. It's so much easier to blame God. It's so much easier to cast that dispersion on Him and not on ourselves. But the fact is that, you know, all sin is folly. You know, that's one of the reasons God warns us against sin. One of the things that God does is, you know, when He gives us His word, He tells us how to live, because He knows to live differently is to invite trouble into your life. You know, and as the Bible tells us, we have enough trouble. The world has enough trouble of its own. We don't need to invite it in. You know, there's enough things in the world that, you know, can go wrong, causes trouble in our lives. We don't need to invite any more. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't need to invite any more trouble into my life. I am more than enough. Thank you. And we are going to face trials and difficulty, even if we're, you know, living right and following the word and doing what we're supposed to be doing. We know that trials will come. There'll be challenges. But when we live in foolish ways, we add to that. We add to that trial, we add to that difficulty, and then we rage against God. And notice what it says here. Man's own folly ruins his life. This is more than just folly causing trouble. Folly, you know, giving us a bad day. The implication here is that our folly has continued on to such an extent that it has actually brought ruin upon us. Our actions have done so much harm that they've just made a total disaster out of our lives. Because, well, look, we all give into folly from now and then, right? We all do dumb things. We all sin. If we're smart, we recognize that sin. We confess it to the Lord. We seek for His forgiveness. We repent and turn from that behavior, and we move on. And God forgives and restores and moves us down the road. You know, not all sin leads to ruin if we repent of it and turn away from it in a timely manner. You know, I think all sin has consequence. I'm not saying we should take it lightly, but not all sin is going to ruin you if, provided, you recognize that sin, you confess that sin, and you repent of that sin. and do so in a timely manner. We can often save ourselves from a lot of grief. You know, this is why repentance and forgiveness are so important. Why repentance and confession are necessary for the Christian life. It is to keep our folly from leading us to ruin. You know, if we learn from our sin, if we learn from our folly and change our ways and live differently in light of the Lord, we can be okay. Our lives don't have to be ruined. And I think we've all experienced that too, right? You know, we've had sin in our life, but God has convicted us of it. We responded to that conviction. We confessed that sin. We repented. We turned away from it. And what could have led to terrible things didn't. I remember still quite a while, a person shared how they had developed feelings for a coworker who was not their spouse. And, you know, we're struggling with these feelings. Felt guilt over them, obviously. But recognized the danger that they were in. Confess that and remove themselves from that situation. You know, arrange things so that they no longer had interaction with that person. You know, there's a case of someone who's, you know, there's some folly going on, right? There's finding themselves attracted to someone who's not their spouse. And that could lead to a very dangerous thing, right? Next thing you know, that blossoms. There's an affair. A marriage is ruined. Who knows? But instead, they recognized the danger. They confessed it to the Lord. They took steps to correct that, to remove themselves out of the presence of that person so they're no longer interacting with them on a regular basis. So, you know, to remove that temptation away because they recognized where that folly was leading. This is what wise people do. Look, even a wise, righteous person can find themselves attracted to someone who's not their spouse. We can all find ourselves tempted in many ways, right? Just because we're trying to live for the Lord doesn't mean we're not going to face temptation. We will. But wisdom tells us how to avoid that temptation, how to change it, how to get out of that situation, remove that temptation from us, whatever that may be. You know, it's like someone's dieting. You're really serious about losing weight and dieting, eating better. You don't keep chips around the house, right? Because, you know, if they're there, you got to eat them. I don't often buy chips. Sometimes, you know, for the kids, because I know if I start, you know, I love the salty. I'm not a big sweets guy. You can have candy galore in the house. I'll be like, eh, whatever. It's not a huge thing. It's not hard for me to say no to candy. But I love the salty treats. And you keep chips around the house, I'm going to eat them. It's just that I'm going to tell myself I won't eat any chips. But I will. And before I know it, I've eaten the whole bag. Maybe not in one sitting, but, you know, I'm going to eat them more than I should. You know, it's like the old commercial. Can't stop at just one. Well, that's true. So what are you going to do? Well, I don't keep them in the house. I just don't buy chips. Because I know if they're there, I'll eat them. And I don't need to be eating chips. Just empty calories I don't need. Wisdom shows us our folly and turns us from it. You know, it's not wisdom to see your folly. It's wisdom to turn from your folly. This is what God calls us to do. This is why God convicts us. This is why God intervenes in our lives. So that we can be turned away from these foolish things so we don't ruin our lives. Don't wait till you have the heart attack to decide, hey, maybe chips and chili dog for lunch every day isn't a great idea. Maybe I should get healthy sooner. This is what wisdom teaches us to do. But folly just leads us down that same path until ruin comes. And then, to compound that, a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Folly has led us to ruin, so we respond with more folly by raging against God instead of recognizing what led us to this place. You know, it's pointless to cry out to God, God, why would you allow me to get sick? And why would you allow me to get this cancer when you're smoking? Hey, that's not God. He didn't tell you to pick up those cigarettes. Why would you let me have this heart attack and get hurt? No, God didn't tell you to eat, never exercise. So many of these things that come and ruin our lives. Why'd you let my marriage be ruined? God didn't tell you to go out and have that affair. So many of these things come because of our own folly, because of the choices we made, and yet we rage against God. And yes, I recognize, you know, sometimes people who are healthy and eating right will still have heart attacks. Sometimes people, you know, their marriage will disintegrate and they didn't have the affair their spouse did. Sometimes people get cancer who don't, never smoked, never picked up a cigarette, never did anything. I mean, I recognize that. But that goes back to our point. There's going to be enough trials in your life that come upon you even though you're doing the right things. Sometimes those trials come upon us because we're doing the right things, you know, because people standing up for the Lord, standing up for what's right. Our culture doesn't always appreciate that. I don't know if you've noticed. And sometimes that brings trial into our life. So sometimes doing the right thing will bring trial. Going to have it. We're going to have trouble. As Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but fear not, for I've overcome the world. But he says, look, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulty. So why live in folly, invite more trouble and more difficulty into our lives? There will be enough that happens that's beyond our control, that's not a result of our folly, that we will have to deal with, that the Lord will have to help us through, without acting in foolish ways and then leading us to, you know, rebel against God. And here's the thing. It's so often You know, as a pastor, I've dealt with people who have had things happen to them because of how they're living, whether health or relationship or whatever. It's, you know, a direct result of the choices they've made. And they'll come to me and complaining about God. Why is God letting this happen, letting that happen? And you have to look and do this, you did. And I've had other people who are trying to live for the Lord and grounded in the Lord and trying to live by his word and will have bad things happen to them. And I'm not saying exclusively, but I find far less often do those people blame God, even though you'd think they'd have more reason to, because they were doing all the things that right. They were living the way they were supposed to be living. They were following the word, and yet this bad thing happened to them. It seems like they would have more reason to complain, and yet they rarely do. And certainly not as much as those who have lived clearly in violation of God or made clearly poor choices in their life and now are feeling the consequences of it and want to rage against the Lord. But they don't. Those who are living right and still experience bad things don't seem to. And I think it's because they're grounded in the Lord. They understand. They have a maturity in their spirit. And while they may question God, that's very different from raging against God. Right? Those aren't the same things. God, why did you allow this to happen? When I've been faithful and followed you and done what's right, why did you allow this to happen? That's very different. We see the Bible filled with that. And go read the Psalms. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Lord, where are you? It's very different than a heart that is raging against the Lord. You know, that's the danger. This folly leads people to rage against God. They're not just asking, why did you allow this to happen? They're actively angry and turning against God. That when we indulge our folly and allow it to bring us to ruin because we refuse to turn from it, we will often then just turn against God because we won't admit what is so obviously true. So today, if God convicts you of folly in your life, if he convicts you of something happening in your life, don't rage against him. Listen to him. Turn away from those things. Don't let that folly bring you to ruin, but turn to the Lord and be restored and healed and forgiven. And he will do those things for you. Let's be wise today. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you Monday.